I'm talking to Richard Kind, the great actor from Curb Your Enthusiasm, Mad About You, Spin City, and it's great to have you on and talk to you again. And we spent some time together, and excited to talk to you about the new show, The Social Ones, that's on video on demand, on Apple TV, Amazon Prime Video. And it's a really cool premise. It follows five social media celebrities who are preparing for a group cover shoot. It's sort of a mockumentary, almost in the spirit of like Christopher Guest and Spinal Tap. It seems really, really fun and really interesting.
We should be so lucky, but yes, it's in that genre. Yeah.
And was this something that you had kind of been wanting to do, this kind of role in this sort of mockumentary fashion?
Paul, I wish I could tell you yes. That was what happened. Is somebody who I know and happens to think is great. She's a great actress. Stephanie, you would know her from Law and Order. She's in the movie. She helped produce it. And then there were these two women, the sisters, wrote it, have directed it, produced it. They poured their heart and soul into it, and they made this movie. And Stephanie asked me, would I care to be in it? And she sent me the script. And I had to admit, I didn't understand a lot of it because it's about a generation that I am not used to. Doing podcasts like this, something I'm not used to. Now I am. But in any case, it follows people who know the internet, who know social media. And the part was pretty good. And so I said, sure, of course. And I can't say that I did it because I loved the part of the movie, although I do, but I did it because you help out people who, you know, have a small amount of money, have a script, have a nice idea, seems funny, have a great cast, because the other people who were in it are terrific. And so I said, yeah. So I did it. It's a fun part, because it's pretty much the guy who invented the internet. That's who it is. It's like a Bill Gates type of guy, but in a Howard Hughes type of way. A recluse and lives in this dank hovel down below ground in New York. And he's, back in the 70s, he sort of invented it all and has been forgotten. Holds that chip on his shoulder. It's an interesting part. It's fun.
Oh, that's great. You've been part of so many iconic half hours, comedy in particular, and, you know, worked with so many great people. When you are working with a character, a new character, do you tend to have a lot of input in the development of the character, or does it depend on project to project?
You know, it depends on project to project, because I wish I could say I was smarter than I was, that I'm a better writer than I am. I'm not. Usually the people who are writing it are smarter than I am, and I like what they've written. And then I can say, you know what, I hear something I could do here, and they'll either say, yes, that's a good idea. They'll say, as many sitcom writers say, we prefer it as written. And then there's the one that says, you know what, look, when I work with geniuses like the Coen brothers or Pete Docter when I'm doing a Pixar movie, I don't open my mouth. I don't. With the Coen brothers, I had one thing, and when it happened, and I said, because during rehearsal, I said, wouldn't it be funny if I did this, or wouldn't it be good? And they go, yeah, that'd be great. And then on the day that we were to shoot it, I brought it up, and I said, I'm thinking about doing it here. He goes, oh, you know, I never thought that would work. It does. Yeah, sure, go ahead and do it. But the Coen brothers pretty much know what their movie is going to be, even before they start shooting.
Right.
So they're just smarter people than I would ever hope to be, and I sort of ride their coattails.
I think you're smarter than that. But you know, when you work with Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I'd love you to explain this to the listeners. He works in a pretty unique way. My understanding is that, you know, he has a structure for a scene and he kind of knows where he wants to begin and end, but is very much improvised as long with some direction at the top for the actors. Is that right?
Yeah. Have you been on the show?
I have not been on the show. That would be my dream, to be on the show.
What he does is he writes a very detailed scenario. What it really is a short story. Imagine taking a short story that you read, you know, in high school or whatever. You see all the scenes put together, and you go and you make a movie of it with no script. It's just a short story. And you think, during this scene, this is the point that we have to make in order to move the story along, and make up the words as if you were in that situation. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. And, of course, hours and hours and hours of improvisation are done, and they pare it down to where you're brilliant.
It's a lot of takes.
It can be a lot of takes. And whenever we were finished with a scene, I would always turn to Larry and just go, "Is that what you want?" You know, because he's the one who's going to be cutting it all together. So he's got to have all of those components. And you hope that, number one, that what needs to be done in the story is well served. And you pray that you are funny in telling it. Does that make sense?
It does.
The story itself is going to be funny. You read it, you see exactly what it is. But, for instance, if he just has, you meet a car salesman, and you know that that scene is going to be funny because as a component of the story, it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to have something that rises above just the funniness of the story so that what you're watching is inherently interesting, whether or not this component is interesting too. So it works in two different levels. Does that make sense?
It does. And it also seems like, in a way, the improvisation and the actors in it are sort of helping write the scene. So I would imagine that if you say something
we don't help write the scene. We write the scene.
Okay.
We're talking. those are the words. Sometimes, you know, funny, because when I get the scenario, I don't want to read it ahead of time because I want to see what it's going to be like when I watch it on TV.
Right.
However, I have to read it because it's my job. So I do read it, and then I think about, what are some funny lines I could say? Those lines never work. You just have to go in and play the moment. The interesting thing is, I've done about 5 or 6 of improvised movies, because I was in Second City, so I sort of know how to improvise. You know what? I'm not going to be false modesty. I know how to improvise. I'm not always as good as others, and I'm not always as good as I want to be, but I do know how to improvise. So I have done movies where the scenario isn't nearly as detailed as what Larry does for 25 minutes. These are 90-minute movies, and each scene should really be detailed about what we want to have happen in the scene, which Larry really does. I mean, quite often those scenarios are about 14 to 18 pages for 22 minutes, 25 minutes. That's really detailed. He doesn't write dialogue, he just writes, "This is what you're feeling at a certain time." And it's wonderful when you have that guy. So he's just great.
I would imagine you'll end up saying something in the scene, you know, like, "I told you I parked the car back there," you know, and he likes that and then wants you to run with that some more.
He doesn't just like it. He doesn't just like it. He'll start to laugh. He'll laugh in the middle of a take. He likes what you did. He really, why not? I think he likes what he did. I think he likes the writing, that this is so funny.
Right.
The worst was, if you remember the episode where he kills the black swab, and we get, you remember that episode?
Yes, yes.
if you were a golfer, you would definitely remember it.
Yes.
But we couldn't stop laughing. When we were being berated by the owner of the club, the Asian guy who was walking back and forth, honest to God, we were, it took about hour longer to film that scene because we were laughing so much. And he was laughing so much. And then he got it out of his system, and I had, and he got, it's like, all right, already, let's go. It was cracking me up. I just kept laughing and laughing. All I kept thinking is Bridge on the River Kwai. And, you know, at the Suihaya College, it's right. Going over to the American soldiers.
Yeah, it did have that feel. It's where how he comes up with it and where it goes and sort of just, you know, you got to watch everything in the beginning of the episode because everything leads to something else, right? Like there's always, it's very much like these strands that come together, three or four storylines that come.
I agree with you so much. In fact, years ago, I asked him if he had been a chess prodigy because he thinks two or three steps ahead of where the story is and where his audience is.
Mm.
And it's just, so which is what a chess player does.
Right.
And he's not. He just debates. He has a great comic mind. And he does follow a writer who I bet you know, but I don't know whether your audience will, a guy named Matt Heiken. Who created Car 54, Where Are You, and Sergeant Bilko. And those are really the influences of Larry David, those shows, that form of writing, where Matt, back in the 50s, was able to do that and take all these disparate characters and melt them all and braid them so that it affects each other. It's really quite something.
Yeah, it really is.
I got to admit, with this movie that I did, The Social Ones, they also took these disparate characters and had them intersect, not with the entire cleverness that Kerb does, but that's sort of how we work too. I did, because what I had to say in the movie is so hex detail that I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I had no idea what I was saying. Yeah, in fact, I'm going to brag on this. If you want to see some great acting, watch this and know that I have no idea what I'm talking about. I memorized the lines and I pretended that I was a master of technology, and I did not know what I was saying.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know, isn't that hilarious?
It's so great. You know, you talked about acting and you said, this is a quote of yours, when you try and act pure, it can be exhausting because it's expansive. I make a decision, I act it. You know,
I would never say that. That's total BS. How dare I? Okay, so what's your question?
What did you mean by if you try and act and act pure, it can be exhausting because it's expansive? What did you mean by that?
I will give you the example that I use. Did you see the movie Inside Out?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, the animated. Okay, spoiler here, but if you've not seen it, I have a death scene in that when Big Bang dies.
Right.
I must have asked for take after take. We must have done 25 takes of that, and none were as good as the previous one. They were all, in the moment, great, but it felt phenomenal because I was crying. I felt the emotion of the moment. And I kept trying to do it and make it better and be more into it.
Mm.
Well, I can't because I'm Richard Kind. I am not Big Bang, but to try and become the character. So it's like Daniel Day-Lewis when he goes on set and he asks to be called Mr. President when he's doing Lincoln.
Right.
You know, you want to be Lincoln. Well, you know what, Daniel? You're never going to be Lincoln. You're going to always be Daniel Day-Lewis. You're going to get close to what Lincoln might have been like. You're never going to be Lincoln. No matter how good an actor you are, Lincoln was shot. He's dead, and you're Daniel Day-Lewis. And you can go for it, and you can keep trying and trying to do it over and over and over again. It's exhausting.
Yeah,
you're doing over and over again, and you're so invested. It's just tough. And on stage, on theater, you do it night after night after night, trying to achieve that. And it's a job. Now, as we always say, it's not brain surgery, and coal miners have it tougher, but in a short amount of time, that's what you're trying to achieve.
Makes a lot of sense. So listen, I mean, there's so much that we can talk about. I think we have to have you on again. And there's some such your work. I was a lawyer. You were studying law, and you ended up going into acting. Yeah. So there's a lot to talk about. So let's do this again. But the movie is The Social.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
You know, but an actor in Strictly Ballroom.
Yes.
And his name is Paul Mercurio as well.
Yes, I had to change the spelling of my name slightly because he got into the Actors Union before I did. And so he spells his name exactly the same way. And so I changed it slightly, but people still every once in a while think I'm him. In fact, he's hosting a reality beer-making show in Australia. So every couple of weeks on Twitter, people send me beer recipes thinking I'm him. So it's...
That's hilarious.
Oh, God, yeah. It's Richard Kind. The movie is The Social Ones, which can be seen on video on demand, Apple TV, Amazon Prime Video, Dish, etc. It's everywhere. Such a great actor, so funny, part of iconic shows over the past 20, 30 years. It's great to have you on, buddy, and let's do this again, okay?
I look forward to it, Paul. That's very nice of you. I really do.